Hi, I'm Brian from Olathe, Kansas, and you're listening to WGXC Akron 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Akron, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show for Friday, July 29th. And today we're going to hear from Krista Hestorfer, a child nutrition program specialist for Hunger Solutions New York, talking about federal child nutrition programs. We'll also hear from the two candidates running for the New York 19 Congressional District, the new one, that's Josh Riley and Jamie Chaney. They spoke at a Delhi candidate forum earlier this week, and we'll hear some of their responses after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Hold on. Channel connection and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You can find all about the Hudson-based circus, the Bindlesif Family Circus, on the WGXC community calendar. They're hosting the Bindlesif Circus's Summer of Joy 2022 in Hudson with five different programs for youth ages 6 through young adults, including circus art intensives for youth and participation in the Hudson Black Arts and Cultural Festival Parade. Also work on costume design and fabrication. They host the Hudson Juggling Club at Waterfront Wednesdays in Hudson, and a restorative justice facilitation training with the Hudson Youth Center and the Restorative Center of Newburgh. These programs run from June 29th to August 24th. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Kathleen Moore is reporting for the Times Union that the New York State Department of Health announced July 28th that monkeypox is an imminent threat to public health. The declaration provides local health departments access to additional state reimbursement for response and prevention activities. Monkeypox is spreading rapidly, Commissioner of Health Dr. Mary T. Bassett said in a statement. Anyone can get the virus, which is primarily spread through close physical contact between people. Although men who have sex with men constitute the majority of those infected right now, the virus does not differentiate. Anyone can get monkeypox. Contact does not have to be sexual. A baby and a toddler contracted monkeypox from their parents in other states. Because sexual contact is a common way to get the virus, the state health department advised all sexual partners to discuss whether they have any rashes or other monkeypox symptoms before skin-to-skin contact. If one person has symptoms, they should isolate at home and contact a health care provider for treatment and pain relief. The person should isolate from pets as well as people. An additional 110,000 doses of vaccine will arrive in New York during the next 4 to 6 weeks, Governor Kathy Hochul said. The vaccine is 2 shots, given 4 weeks apart. The person is fully vaccinated 2 weeks after the second dose. New Yorkers can sign up to receive mobile messages about cases and where to get tested or vaccinated by texting monkeypox to 81336. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Maura Rosner reports for Columbia Green Media that some Athens town officials want to build a new town hall, but are being secretive about the process. The story says almost 100 people attended a public hearing July 18th on an eminent domain proposal, but does not say what property the town would be taking over. The story also says that, and I quote, attempts to speak with council members in favor of the eminent domain proposal were unsuccessful. Multiple voicemails and emails were left unanswered, end quote. The story does not say why the town wants to build a new town hall. The story also says that a resolution to hire an engineer for the project was, and I quote, seemingly approved, end quote, but not recorded in board meeting minutes. Mary Beth Bianconi of Delaware Engineering in Albany was said to have presented a concept plan to the board for the project, but asked to keep it secret. Bianconi said, and I quote, I cannot discuss those details. You have to talk to the town. The town has that information, end quote. So, there is talk about a new town hall for the town of Athens, but the public is not privy to many details about how taxpayer money is being spent on the project. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Paul Kirby reports for the Daily Freeman that Central Hudson Gas and Electric said July 27th that natural gas prices will sharply rise effective August 1st. The supply for natural gas will increase by 20% to 87 cents per 100 cubic feet, up from 72 cents in July, according to Central Hudson spokesperson Jeff Jenkins. He said that while the use of natural gas is typically lower during the summer months, supply prices quoted on bills and overall bill impacts will vary for individual customers depending on their billing cycle and energy use. Jenkins noted that the New York State Public Service Commission and other watchdog agencies had warned of continued rising energy prices. This increase comes on the heels of a slight jump in electricity supply prices from $4.18 per kilowatt hour in June to $5.83 per kilowatt hour as of July 13th. Jenkins said the August electricity supply rates will not be known until August 9th or 10th. The utility said that the new rates were approved by the PSC as part of a 3-year plan in November. The approved plan includes another increase in delivery charges in July 2023. This year, the utility has been under fire for billing complaints and skyrocketing customer bills. The Public Service Commission, as well as a state Senate committee, are investigating those matters. The utility announced last week it will reinstitute late fees beginning in October. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Joshua Solomon reports for the Times Union that the district attorney who only charged the man who attacked Lee Zeldin with attempting to assault, which allowed him to be released on bail, also spoke at a campaign event for the candidate for governor. Monroe County District Attorney Sandra Dorley may have broken ethics guidelines for the Prosecutors Association that say a district attorney shall not, and I quote, speak at a political slash social function, publicize their attendance at such functions, end quote, or, and I quote, act in a manner that would be interpreted as lending the prestige and weight of their office to the political party or function, end quote. Dorley notes that those ethics guidelines also say, and I quote,
However, this shall not prohibit normal political activity during the course of a campaign year, end quote. Callie Marionetti, a spokesperson for Dorley, said, and I quote, "The district attorney does not think she violated the guidelines in her participation in this event," end quote. The DA had also briefly been named co-chair of Zeldin's campaign before stepping down. Dorley released the man who attacked Zeldin without bail on a minor charge, setting up Zeldin to criticize Democrats for allowing an accused but not convicted criminal to be released on bail. Zeldin is the Republican nominee for governor who, as a member of the House of Representatives, voted against certifying the 2020 presidential election results, even though there was no proven fraud. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News reports that Frontier Airlines, which operates flights to various destinations from New York's Stewart International Airport, has started a cadet program to train the next generation of Frontier pilots. Frontier will operate its program in partnership with ATP Flight School. System-wide, the airline industry is facing a pilot shortage. Frontier is hoping to enroll up to 35 people each month to become commercial airline pilots. No prior flying experience is required, the company said from its Denver headquarters. Cadets will receive assistance in applying for financial aid to help offset training and living expenses. The program will take 24 months to complete. Cadets must be at least 19 years old, willing to relocate, and clear a background check. An associate degree or higher is preferred but not required. Participants must pass all required tests and obtain all necessary certifications before becoming a Frontier pilot. Read more about the story at MidHudsonNews.com.
New York State of Politics reports on two new television ads in the 19th Congressional District special election to replace Democrat Antonio Delgado. Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro is focusing on public safety and inflation, while Democrat Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan is talking about his battle with Central Hudson over high rates and billing issues. County Executive Pat Ryan said, and I quote, "For too long, big corporations have had too much power and too much say at the expense of New York families. It is outrageous and unacceptable. While most of us are struggling to pay our bills, put food on the table, and keep the lights on, big corporations like Central Hudson are making record profits. Now more than ever, we need champions in Congress who will fight for us, not sell out to corporate interests. From day one, I fought to hold big corporations accountable, ensuring they pay their fair share, and I'll bring that same fight to Washington," end quote. Molinaro talks about different consumer costs. He said in a statement, and I quote, "The failed policies of the Biden administration and one-party rule in Washington and Albany has brought about the highest inflation rates on record, which is crushing families who are forced to choose between buying gas and putting food on the table," end quote. The two candidates square off in a special election August 23rd to fill out the remaining weeks of Delgado's term before redistricting changes the area represented. Different candidates face off in an August 23rd primary election to represent a new 19th congressional district beginning in January.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Friday, a chance of showers, mainly afternoon, patchy fog before 7 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a temperature high near 85 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 60 degrees. And on Saturday, sunny with a high near 82 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly clear, with a temperature low of around 59 degrees. And that
is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, July 29th, tune in to all sorts of creative community sounds on the air on 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. Global Agogo Show is still on summer vacation, but Driftless Turmoil is in this week with music from Rachel Grimes, John Weiss, and Daniel Johnston, among others. And Jared Wigashud hosts the Sugar Shack Jukebox live from WGXC's Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. That's from noon until 2 p.m. 4 p.m., the WGXC afternoon show is live from Acre. Then at 6 p.m., we are live from Catskill, Main Street in Catskill, where the clubhouse is. Clubhouse Radio is on at 6 p.m. until 7 p.m. with local youth playing their music and telling their stories. 7 p.m., we hear from youth in Hudson, Georgia Yassi, Jada Pernetti, Fada Janet, Mashuda Sultana, and Amelia Ortiz are among the youth that host the Bound by Books show, talking with Emily Shimides from the Hudson Area Library about what they've been reading. That's on at 7 p.m. And then the local music show Hudson Valley Sounds is on at 8 on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Saturday, August 6th, PS21 is putting on a show in Chatham's Crellin Park for Crellin Park Day. It's an interactive program called 846, a retelling of Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring. It's put on by the Jamal Jackson Dance Company. And it's at 3 p.m. on Saturday, August 6th in Crellin Park in Chatham. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. And you can also list your own events there to be read on the radio at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Hi, this is Michael Wilde inviting you to Mostly Singles, and if you like what you're hearing, you'll love this show. Rarefied music, premieres, and guests. It's different every time, and a podcast too. Go to WGXC.org. Mostly Singles, every fourth Tuesday at 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, July 29th. Early morning temperatures range from 60 degrees in Courtright Center to 67 in Kingston. Soil temperature seems to be holding at 70 degrees. Dew points stay mostly comfortable around 61 today as temperatures rise to 88 degrees by 4 p.m. A small chance for rain shows up in the afternoon as temperatures start to drop. Overnight, temperatures get comfortable by 10 p.m. and fall to 61 degrees by dawn. On Saturday, we see a similar day, not too humid, with a high of 83. Overnight, hits 60 degrees. Then, Sunday, we see another nice day, high of 87. Monday, temperatures creep back up to 90 degrees, and it's still dry. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:04 a.m., low tide at 10:59 a.m., high tide again at 4:44 p.m., and low tide once again at 10:52 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 79 degrees, great for accelerating growth of bacteria like E. coli and Bacillus megaterium. Sunset today will be at 8:05 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:42 a.m. Looking way up, we see open coronal holes are releasing plasma due to arrive early next week. Solar wind speed is currently 370 kilometers per second at 4.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 50. And this has been the Better Weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Get out there and enjoy the weekend, everybody.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Diane Moore of Copaic, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration. But most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
Now, from Survival comes an economical do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved and easy to assemble. Takes just a weekend.
Get maximum protection from nuclear fallout for your family.
See a Survival shelter today.
Hello, operator. Can you give me that?
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Look, this bill is far from perfect. It's a compromise. But it's often how progress is made, by compromises.
President Joe Biden from the White House Thursday pleading for Congress to pass the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. In addition to inflation, the bill also addresses climate change, taxes, and health care. Biden said it's no surprise that the economy is slowing, but the country is on the right path. Shortly after a new government report showed the economy shrank for the second straight quarter, reviving fears of a recession and criticism from Republicans on the president's economic policies. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen staunchly maintained the U.S. is not in a recession.
Most economists and most Americans have a similar definition of recession: substantial job losses and mass layoffs. That is not what we're seeing right now.
In the Senate, South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham and Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal introduced a resolution that would designate Russia as a state sponsor of terrorism. Here's Graham.
And the sooner we make that statement, the more likely other countries will jump on board to punish Putin.
Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey introduced a Senate bill reinstating net neutrality and the Federal Communications Commission's authority over broadband service.
The net neutrality and Broadband Justice Act will undo the Trump FCC's damaging deregulation, which left broadband access unregulated and consumers unprotected.
Veterans Affairs Department officials testified on sexual harassment issues at the agency and what they're doing to combat them before a House committee. The department's Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Office of Resolution Management, Diversity and Inclusion, Harvey Johnson, said the agency relies on an outpatient survey to gauge experiences.
The survey inquires generally about veterans' feelings of safety while attending appointments.
The Biden administration warned U.S. businesses and health insurance providers that limiting coverage of birth control, now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned, would violate federal law. Meanwhile, pro-choice Democratic lawmakers continue to voice disapproval on legislation restricting women's access to abortion and reproductive health services. California Democratic Representative Barbara Lee.
We cannot accept a world in which people are criminalized for making their own health care decisions. We are not going back.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show?
Would you like to do a show?
Chocolate pigs are awesome.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Did you hear that?
No.
Thank you.
was 2021 music from Modur Mokhtar with the song Tala Tanim.
On July 25th, Democrats Josh Riley and Jamie Chaney both spoke at a candidate forum for the New York 19 new congressional district. In Delhi, they spoke, and the special election they're running against each other in is on August 23rd. Here is one question asked to Democrats Jamie Chaney and Josh Riley.
So we're moving to gun control. In 2020, the most recent year for Pew Research data, 45,000 plus people died from gun-related injuries. Over 19,000 were gun murders, a 34% increase from the previous year, a 49% increase over 5 years, and a 75% increase over 10 years. Jamie, you write, we need comprehensive gun reform, including banning assault weapons, expanded background checks, red flag laws, and addressing ghost guns. Given recent gun legislation, what one or two items would you push for next? And how do you propose to bust through the resistance to enact gun reform?
To me, the absolute priority to push for next is an assault weapons ban and an increase of the minimum age to buy a weapon. These are absolute priorities. I've shared with many of you, if we've had the opportunity to meet in person, the story of driving my 8-year-old to school a few days after Texas and him saying to me in the backseat of the car, Mommy, if this shooter comes to my classroom, should I try to climb out the window or should I hide in the bathroom? Oh, I forgot to turn off my video. We are traumatizing a generation in real time because we cannot push through these laws that 80% of Americans support. The way that I would work to push them through is by bringing those people to the table. This is my community. I know this community. Many, many people will say I own a shotgun and I use it as a tool on my farm, and I'm truly terrified the day after an assault weapons ban is passed, my shotgun will be taken away as well. I can speak with credibility to this community to say, no, that's not what we're gonna do. I can speak as someone who uses a gun as a tool on the farm. I can speak as someone who knows the moderate Republicans who are ready to cross the line on rowing guns, and someone who knows the people that we need to win a district like this and be able to pass that assault weapon.
Thank you. Thank you, Jamie. Josh?
Thank you. So I served as a counsel on the Senate Judiciary Committee after the massacre at Sandy Hook, and I have to tell you it was one of the hardest and most difficult things I've worked on. Number one, seeing so many grieving parents coming to Washington asking for something, anything, to be done to keep kids safe. And then seeing a complete failure and breakdown of our democracy when the NRA rolled in with tons of money and tons of lobbyists and shut everything down. We had a package of reforms at the time that some of which is now in pieces, has been enacted in the recent bipartisan compromise, but so much of it is still out there. They had over 90% of support from the American people and yet still failed. In what functioning democracy do we have something as simple as improving the background check system fail with 90% support? It's a democratic system where special interests like the NRA can roll into Washington and flood the place with money and drown out your voices. So in addition to a number of the policies we've talked about here, one that's a top priority for me is one that I worked on after Sandy Hook, which was improving the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. That's the system within the FBI that's actually responsible for processing background checks. Today, it's faulty for two reasons. Number one, we're not checking all of the things we need to be checking. And number two, for the things we are checking, we don't have all the records in the system. So both of those things need to be done, and they need to be done right away to do something meaningful about gun violence in this country.
Thank you. So we're moving on to climate change. You both cite that climate change poses an existential threat to our planet. How should Congress balance taking action to mitigate climate change with demands of economic growth when they conflict? How would you fight for climate change given the resistance from our own party? Please provide some examples.
I love this question because it's, I just totally disagree with the premise of the question. It's a false choice to say we have to choose between saving the planet and economic growth and jobs. Not only is it a false choice, they're the same thing. One of the things I am most excited about with this campaign and being in Congress is the amazing opportunities in this district to create the jobs of the future fighting climate change. We are, I'm telling you, we are at an inflection point in this district where with just a little bit of a push and a nudge, we can, in a matter of years, be on the forefront of innovation in fighting climate change. Let me give you one specific example, and afterwards I can give you a bunch of others. There's some amazing technologies that are coming out of our SUNY system right now with respect to clean energy storage and advanced batteries so that we can save the sun when the sun's not shining, we can save the wind when the wind's not blowing. We're doing that right here in our SUNY system. All of that technology is coming out of our SUNY system. So how do you take that from a lab on a SUNY campus and get it out onto a factory floor? Well, you need investments. You need federal investments. And there's provisions in the new bipartisan infrastructure law designed specifically for this purpose. And so one of the things you should expect out of your representative is advocacy day in and day out with the relevant departments of jurisdiction for that program to bring that money home as capital investments so that we can take all of that clean energy storage out of the lab in the SUNY system and put it to work on the ground with real jobs here. There's tons of other examples across the district, and I'm telling you, we should be really excited about it. We should be really, really excited about the potential here.
Thank you, Josh. Jamie, same question.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Krista Estorfer, who is the Child Nutrition Program Specialist with Hunger Solutions New York, which helps coordinate work on hunger and particularly the federal anti-hunger programs here in New York State. And we asked Krista to come on because the Child Nutrition Program reauthorization, which comes up every 5 years, is right now going through that process. So, Krista, why don't you give us a very, brief introduction. What is Hunger Solutions? And, what is the Child Nutrition Program reauthorization bill all about?
Absolutely. Well, first, thanks so much for having me on today and for covering this issue. It can be hard to stay on top of all the developments in Washington these days, but this bill is going to be really impactful for New York. So I'm glad to have a chance to speak with you today. So I'm here from Hunger Solutions New York. We are a statewide anti-hunger organization, and our work focuses on maximizing the federal nutrition assistance programs, including SNAP, WIC, school meals, summer meals, childcare meals, and after-school meals as well. So we were really excited to see some movement on a federal child nutrition reauthorization bill. This is our big opportunity to make long-term investments and improvements in the child nutrition programs. This reauthorization is theoretically supposed to come up every 5 years in Congress, but we are well overdue with the last child nutrition reauthorization happening in 2010. But the good news about this timing is that we're able to fold in many of the lessons that we've learned during the pandemic when the child nutrition programs have been extremely responsive and effective in mitigating a far worse spike in child hunger.
Now, just looking over your advocacy alert, which I received, I'm reminded that the child nutrition programs includes many critical programs, everything from school meals, particularly free school meals, women, infants, and children, what's called the summer EBT program to try to deal with, feeding children when they're out of school, and some stuff around the child care provider. Now, of course, the last, 3 years at this point, 2.5 years, we've had this COVID epidemic, which has caused a lot of financial problems for everybody, particularly for low-income people. How has that impacted the last few years on the child nutrition programs?
You're absolutely right that over the last several years, we've seen a worsening of an existing hunger crisis in New York and across the country. So the latest estimates show that as of 2020, 1 in 7 children in New York were coping with food insecurity. And that was likely worsened during 2020 and 2021, as many families were coping with the economic fallout of the pandemic. But at the same time, the child nutrition programs did respond quickly and effectively and likely mitigated what could have been a much worse spike in food insecurity. We saw schools quickly adapting to provide grab-and-go meals when kids couldn't be at school. WIC clinics were offering remote services, remote benefit issuance, so that families could continue to receive those benefits, even though they couldn't necessarily come in for in-person clinic visits. We saw the pandemic EBT program come about. This was a temporary crisis response program that provided food benefits for kids who qualified for free or reduced price school meals and had their in-person school attendance disrupted. And many more flexibilities and investments came into being over the last couple of years that formed a really comprehensive approach to mitigating food insecurity during the pandemic. And the good news is that those really effective improvements, many of them did make it into this reauthorization bill that's being considered now. So we see that summer EBT program in the bill, which would build on the success of the pandemic EBT program. We see permanent changes to WIC that allow those remote services and benefit issuance to make the program more accessible permanently, not just during the public health emergency. So it's definitely an opportunity to use what we've learned, and it makes really good sense to incorporate those proven strategies into a long-term reauthorization bill.
Now, you know, I'll disclose, I guess, that, you know, I worked for 28 years for the Hunger Action Network of New York State. And while Congress often has gridlock between the two parties, there's no one really who advocates that we should have more hunger in the country. And while the food stamp program tends to be a little bit more controversial, you know, child nutrition has been, you know, something that at least traditionally has had more bipartisan support. But one of the things that I know have been advocated over the decades is to really try to make the school meal program, you know, free for all students, because one of the real barriers is that particularly when you get to middle school and high school, kids don't want to be identified as poor by getting you know, the free school meals. That has been expanded over recent years, but I see from your alert you're still trying to expand more access to free school meals. How is that looking?
Yes, absolutely. So we are advocating for healthy school meals for all students at no cost, regardless of household income, because we know that the existing tiered payment structure for school meals is inequitable, it's inefficient, and it's highly stigmatizing, as you mentioned. So it leads to, you know, a lot of kids being left behind who could really benefit from school meals. We also know that everybody benefits when everybody eats at school. It improves school finances, it makes the programs more streamlined, and it better positions schools to focus their resources on providing healthy meals, on purchasing, you know, good local high quality foods, all of those things that we'd really love for schools to be able to focus their energy on. So we are really glad to see in the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Bill that there are provisions that would expand access to free school meals by allowing more schools to qualify for what's called the Community Eligibility Provision, or CEP. This is a special option for high poverty schools that allows them to provide meals at no cost to all students without collecting individual household income applications. So the bill would expand eligibility for that option and make it more financially viable for schools that just can't make the finances work right now, often smaller rural schools. The other piece that I would be remiss if I didn't mention is that New York State doesn't need to wait for federal action. And in fact, we don't think that they should wait for federal action on this issue. We are also working on a campaign for healthy school meals for all kids in New York and are urging New York State to create this program in the 2024 fiscal year budget so that all kids in New York are guaranteed access to school meals no matter where they live.
Now, one of the key child nutrition programs is WIC, Women, Infants, and Children, basically providing nutrition to pregnant moms and then their young children. And I understand that one of the proposals is to extend WIC eligibility up to the sixth birthday. What is it presently, 4 years, 5 years old?
So currently the age limit for WIC eligibility is a child's fifth birthday or their first day of full day kindergarten, whichever comes first. So often there is a gap in child nutrition program access between, you know, when a child's fifth birthday is and when they might start to receive school meals. So this proposal would close that gap by expanding eligibility to a child's sixth birthday or their first full day of kindergarten.
Now, we only have about a minute left. If people want more information, they want to talk to their Congress members about this. Senator Majority Leader Schumer, obviously always a key person. How best can they do this?
Sure. So I would encourage folks to visit our website, hungersolutionsny.org, and sign up for our advocacy alerts. There's definitely a need for advocacy on this. It's moving quickly right now. It's as we speak on Wednesday afternoon, it's up for consideration in the House Education and Labor Committee. And we're really urging them to move it to the House floor as quickly as possible. We know this is an urgent need for New York's children and families. And so we do invite everybody to get involved and join the call.
Well, thank you very much, Krista Hesdorfer, who's with Hunger Solutions New York. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
New 2021 music from Tune Yards. That's the song Hold Yourself.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And we start each renewable weather forecast off with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Gas Buddy website says the lowest price for a gallon of gas in Greene County is at the Caro Mart in Caro. It's $4.46 currently. Then we look at the air quality forecast from the National Weather Service, and it is slightly worse than yesterday at 29, still in the good range. And then the UV forecast for Friday, July 29th is an 8. That's in the very high range when you're recommended between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. to wear a shirt, wear a hat, and put on sunscreen if you're out and about. The National Service in Albany says Friday should be mostly sunny, good for the local solar panels, with a high near 82 and a west wind around 7 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Friday night, there's a 20% chance of showers with cloudy skies gradually becoming more clear as the night goes on and a low around 60. Saturday should be sunny with a high of 79 and a northwest wind spinning local windmills 8 to 13 miles per hour. Saturday night, clear is the forecast with a low around 57 and a west wind 5 to 9 miles per hour. And Sunday should also be sunny with a high of 84 and a low around 63. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're headed back to Ohio today, where on July 19th, the Ohio Supreme Court rejected another set of GOP-drawn congressional district maps because they were gerrymandered for partisan gain. You'll remember that Ohio's legislature had thrown up its hands and resubmitted a map previously rejected by the Ohio Supreme Court. The state was under pressure to get the maps in place for the Ohio primary on August 2nd, but now whatever maps are agreed